Hello, and welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
I'm Sean.
WrestleMania. Clap, 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 clap.
Oh,
you're
man.
Right over there?
Yeah, no, we...
There's too much mania? Is that why you're making that face?
Mania's always... This is the thing, so, you know, WrestleMania in this house is a big deal, has been a big deal.
Will always be a big deal.
Will always be a big deal. And this year was, you know, of course it was two nights.
How do you feel about the two nights?
I think it's fine.
I actually prefer it because remember that one time we watched WrestleMania from like 3 p.m. to like 12:30 a.m. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like they figured it out that if you do two nights, you can feature more people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously make more money because you have two nights. I mean, they're going to sell that out anyways.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm surprised it hasn't been a thing that they've done sooner, you know?
Yeah.
Let's look at it this way. You have a lot of talent on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
Mania is a big payday.
Yes.
Obviously, every talent would like a Mania payday of some sort.
Well, yeah.
So in order for that to work, you need the two nights, you know? Yeah, the early Manias, you know, would have like a shit ton of matches.
Right.
Well, you know, and you would have mid card feuds and, you know, stuff that'd be blown off, you know, whatever. But for a while, it wasn't like that, you know, in order to placate a bunch of wrestlers, you know, you put them in like multi-man matches or you put them in like wrestling, you know, like battle royals or something. And now, you know, with the two nights, it's like, well, now you can develop more content because.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have matches like, AJ Styles and LA Knight.
Uh-huh.
Like, that is not a title match.
No, it wasn't.
It is purely a grudge match.
Yes.
They're really, you know, and in the past, that would have just ended up on, like, on the pre-show. Or it would just be like, oh, we're just going to do it on SmackDown. You know, we're not going to really make this a big deal, you know. But now I feel things are different. And it's like, well, now you have these two nights. It's like, why not use them economically? And you can have grudge matches, you know, you can have, you know, street fights just for the sake of having street fights.
Right.
You know, and you don't have to have like a million people in one street fight. You can, you know, I mean, yeah, they had a big spectacle match with the, you know, with all the ladders, with all the tag teams and stuff like that. I'm totally fine with that because that's the thing where you have a lot of talents that, you know, maybe some of them are established as tag teams and. You know, it's a lot of fun, you know, but you can't obviously fit everybody in there. So if you have two nights, it's like, well, hey, maybe the next night we'll do, you know, something about the Intercontinental title or something with this grudge match or maybe or heaven forbid. Actually, they even let's put it this way. That women's trios match.
Yeah.
That was a grudge match in itself, too.
Sure.
You didn't need to have that. Like you could have had that on a Raw. You could have had that, you know, you could have done something else with that.
Right.
But. They chose to put it on Mania, you know, and it gets people behind, you know, some of these stars and letting them, you know, be like, okay, well, they had Mania matches. That's a big deal. You know, I guess that's a way to look at it, but I think it's a smart thing. And, you know, I think I'm also grateful for the fact that, you know, you don't have to go to somebody's house to watch Mania and be there literally until it's like, midnight.
Yeah, that's always very awkward because you know you don't want to impose, but at the same time, it's the damn title.
Or even if you're going out to like
the main
bar,
event, yeah. Or if you're going out to a bar, God, that's even worse.
So yeah, but yeah, it was all right.
Yeah, no, I you know, honestly, I was trying to think about it. I was like, I kind of don't even remember what happened the first night of Mania.
The first night of Mania wasn't
outside
that great.
Of like Sammy, and then obviously Becky Lynch and
well, the women's trios match was that night too,
right? But Becky Lynch and
Rhea,
obviously those were kind of the only two I really remember.
Honestly, I think I'm actually struggling to think too. Because it was like you had the Rey Mysterio match. No, wait, was that?
I think that was the next day.
I think
Rey. No, it was the first night because that's when Jason Kelsey showed up, which we called on this very podcast.
We didn't talk about it.
He's going to show up.
It's a very important wrestling.
And he did, and he took off his shirt because I think that's what Jason Kelsey does.
I think we called that too.
Yeah,
I think we called.
Honestly, he's going to take any reason to take off his shirt and drink a beer. that he could possibly find.
Sounds exactly like my father.
Yeah, he kind of does, actually. And you know that he drank for free after that match.
Oh, he I don't think he's paid. I don't think Jason Kelsey has paid for a drink in a long time. You know, because he goes out somewhere and it's like the Simpsons where it's like, you know, when Rodney Dangerfield is Mr. Burns' son and just a party at the end. It's like, where's all this liquor coming from? It's like, Marge, it's a party. You know, it's just, that's literally what happens. He's just standing there and he's like, he gets a wine laid, he gets a beer and he's like, woohoo.
Well, shit. Remember when they did the Buffalo game, there was footage of him out there tailgating.
Yeah.
It was fucking freezing and he's out there drinking beers with fucking Buffalo people. It was very funny. So I don't know if it's just because there was so much wrestling. I don't really remember night one. Obviously, night two started off with my boyfriend losing. I mean, winning, but then losing in he like won, 90 seconds. Lost. He won, but he lost. I was really hoping Drew McIntyre, who has been an absolute troll on Twitter in like the best way.
Yeah.
And on Instagram, he's hilariously funny.
If you're not a wrestling fan, obviously a lot of you, not I don't know how many of you are that.
Everybody should be. No, kidding.
But if you want somebody, if you're interested in having something fun to follow along with it, if you're just curious, start with following like Drew McIntyre on social media.
Yeah, he's a crazy man. It's very funny.
He's really good at like kind of telling this story about his feud with CM Punk and how he's such a hater and stuff. It's really
hate.
So Drew lost though.
Yes.
But
it was very sad.
The main event was the main event of both nights.
Yeah, that you know, that's kind of, I mean, I have a lot of thoughts about the main event of both nights. Most of which involve The Rock being a complete and utter piece of trash. Because I'm like, oh, he had to get a belt so he could also feel special walking to the ring.
I don't even know. I mean, look, I understand that has something to do with his.
Oh, that's what he said.
Relationship.
That's what he said. I guarantee you, he was just like, I need a belt too because I can't be walking to the ring with Roman without holding a belt.
It looks really stupid, to be honest.
And I'm like, So
it looks really stupid when you're like watching this and you like. And you're watching this years back, you're like, so why is he holding a title? Like, he didn't win anything. He just came back.
Right.
He just got there. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, I got a title. I'm like, but what does that
title it's not get? A real, it's just like an honorary thing because.
It's
like
basically a plaque.
It's a plaque. That's a, you're carrying around your own plaque.
He literally is walking around with a participation trophy.
That's exactly what it is. That is literally like, if you were at work and somebody handed you like best employee plaque and just carried it around to meetings.
I mean. Doing it on a as a gimmick is kind of funny, but
as a joke, yes. But this was not a joke.
This was not a joke. Rock was like,
"I have to have a belt because if Roman has one, I have to have one."
Yeah, it was totally. He also got the pin on that night too, if you recall.
Yeah, I know,
it was dumb. Which was like, okay, you know, you didn't need to do that.
So but. Rock dumb. That's fine. Obviously, I'm glad it played out this way. However, I still say Cody should have won last year. Because we had already set it up. However, it's probably better now. It's probably a better build, whatever. But the only reason it happened is because Vince fucked it up the first time.
Yeah.
And the only reason this happened is because they were trying to fuck it up. Because, again, Rock wanted the main event at WrestleMania. So they tried to take it away from Cody, even though he won the Rumble. And nobody liked that. So, yeah. And we got it. And he won. And it was great. And it was fun. And all the baby faces were in the ring. And. They picked him up or whatever.
Which is honestly that is they haven't done that in a very long time with the faces celebrating in the ring, like probably since WrestleMania 30.
Yeah.
But not even to that extent. They did it then. Like this was the first time in a very long time where you got family and the other major faces in the company, including guys LA like Knight. LA Knight, which hey, that's a good indication of like, hey, I'm doing something good. Because
they brought him out.
I'm on the right track because you don't get to go out. It's not like you have Pete Dunne. I mean, nothing against Pete Dunne, but it's like you have Pete Dunne going out there.
Right.
You know, even though he's a face, but it's like, so what? You know, but I mean, but you got somebody that you actually is important. Like you got Seth Rollins, you got LA Knight, was it Sami Zayn, the KO.
Yeah.
You know, like these are the Randy Orton, like these are the big names.
Yeah.
You know, John Cena was there.
Yep.
But yeah.
I feel proud of LA Knight. I know that's stupid. Like, I don't know him as a person.
I know.
But I realize that this is a guy who has just been doing this on the indies for fucking ever. Doing the grind. Got a shot once at WrestleMania. or not a WrestleMania, in WWE, Vince hated him. Mm-hmm. So they released him.
They Okay, so basically his story is he was an indie guy for a very long time. And then but he had some shots with WWE, got kind of fucked over in the developmental system.
Yeah.
And, you know, he kind of just was going around back and forth, like doing TNA. He did NWA. He's done a lot of like random commercials.
Yeah.
Like, cause he lives, I mean, in LA. True to his name, like LA Knight, like he's working in LA. He's trying to be.
Trying to make money, man. You're trying to survive.
An actor, performer and stuff. And then, you know, he was pretty over in TNA. And then NWA and everything like that. And they got another shot in WWE and he came to the main roster.
And they were doing stupid shit with him.
They're doing stupid shit with him because WWE, or because Vince McMahon didn't like him.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, oh, he's too old. It's like, because
wasn't he doing some like model gimmick? He was an agent or something.
He was the man behind like Maximum Male Models.
Yeah. He was like supposed to be the owner of whatever fucking stupid gimmick that was. And then he was like, well, I'm going to get, obviously, they're going to, you know, release me again. And then no Vince. And all of a sudden, he gets to actually wrestle. He gets himself over.
He gets himself over on his, like, original gimmick. And he gets to do his catchphrase, the, yeah, you know, mm-hmm. like, he was doing that in, like, he kind of perfected that in TNA.
Yeah.
Because he would, he did the whole LA Knight cadence, but he was Eli Drake. That was his name in TNA. And he got over. And that's the thing. People will see that. You don't know. You try stuff out. And if it doesn't work, you let the wrestlers try to work on something else. I feel like that might be more of the case now than it was before when TNA or when Vince McMahon was around. And it's like, you know, the wrestlers want to do stuff and they are beholden to the writers, which, I mean, I wonder how much of that dynamic is like that now, because obviously the writers don't have to worry about being, you know, terrorized by Vince McMahon. Now.
I was going to say, because Vince used to just rip up the whole script anyway and just write it himself. So it didn't really matter. But I feel just like really proud of him, because I'm just like, I know this is a dude who's like grinded for a very long time. And he at what, like 45 or however fuck old he is.
Our age. So he's close. Yeah.
Yeah. He got to have his WrestleMania moment. That's fucking cool. Good for him, man. You know, I was tearing up a little bit
with Cody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was tearing up more for like everybody who's crying for Cody.
I know you get it's emotional, man. Like, you know, cause people are working their asses off, you know,
and
people I was really frustrated that, I didn't get to see Dustin Rhodes out there.
Yeah, me too. Apparently he was up in one of those boxes.
He was there. Yeah, he was there, but like, you know, his contract with TNA ain't gonna let him just, or not TNA, AEW, ain't gonna let him just waltz out there, you know, unless if he's got some sort of permission, which he probably didn't, because
sure,
this company, you know, his AEW, WWE is like, eh.
Right. Well, apparently I did not see it. Apparently you could see the Bucks at one point because they were in the crowd.
I have not seen this.
Neither have I, but I've heard like Brian Alvarez said, oh, there they are. And people were like, oh, there's the Bucks. But I don't know if it was like so quick. I don't know. Or just nobody went back and caught a picture of it, because I haven't seen it yet.
But real quick, though, I just want to say there's a really weird video that has been done. I'll show it to you afterwards, but I'm probably going to post it on our site because it is comic book related as well. It's basically the end of Avengers Endgame,
mm-hmm.
but done with wrestling, with Cody and all that.
Oh, God.
But wait, you see, I don't know if you've seen this yet.
No.
Maybe you have. It's like a TikTok thing.
No, if not.
I think you're going to enjoy it, because it's kind of like a culmination of all these other videos that have been going on. So I think you'll like it.
That's pretty funny.
Are you tired of fanboy comics podcasts? Looking for a show that really appreciates the comic storytelling medium and how it works? A show that looks at comics from any genre and anywhere in the world, comparing the storytelling techniques of different creators in different comics cultures, with manga, newspaper strips, European comics, and more, discussed alongside mainstream US comics. A show that includes talks with well-known creators like James Robinson and Dan Jurgens, and with less famous creators that you really should know. And hey, we'll even critique your comic. If you're looking for that show, then you're looking for Deconstructing Comics, and it's right here at deconstructingcomics.com. Also available in iTunes and on Stitcher. This is Tim saying, check out our show on Wednesdays. That's Deconstructing Comics.
So what are we reading this week?
Well, we are actually jump right back into Savage Dragon.
Our buddy Savage Dragon.
Yeah, he's our friend.
He is our friend.
Savage Dragon is my friend. October, Savage Dragon number 2, from the miniseries. So I guess it'll be technically volume 1
mm-hmm.
for October 1992. I got the date here.
So. Oh, nice.
So October 1992, and we're picking up on what he is doing. He's cleaning up Chicago.
He is cleaning up Chicago because, as we know, he's on the force. And we start with Savage Dragon in a sewer.
Well, I want to just point out, because since they don't do the stupid thing
with the covers,
this is the cover.
Uh-huh.
So we have...
See, now here's my question. Why doesn't he have that cool vest? He only has it on the cover.
When they're here?
Yeah, look at that sweet...
Don't talk about this one.
I know, but I'm looking at that sweet vest. Like, why?
Oh, I don't know, actually.
Because that's a really sweet vest, but he doesn't actually get to wear that vest. It's like a cool, like, leather sleeveless. It looks like it.
It does, actually. It kind of looks like a coat. Because it kind of looks...
It's a leather... It's like a leather sleeveless vest that, like, a dude on a Harley would wear.
I don't know. Maybe it comes back later. Maybe he buys it later.
we have to find the origin of Savage Dragon's vest.
Yeah, there's a good comic issue, like it's like issue like 198 where he eventually buys it.
Yeah,
you
nice.
Know, Eric just kind of drew this.
The origin story of the vest, very important.
And it's called the book is called See My Vest. Savage Dragon 189.
Yes,
198.
Yes.
But no, the actual cover of it is him. He's you see him in the foreground. Getting all shredded as he tends to do.
Yeah, there's a lot of like
clothes shredding.
Yes, and action. And,
oh, there's plenty of action.
Many sound effects.
Yes,
we will talk about the sound effects.
Yes, this book. Again, we said this last time. This cuts right to the chase with a lot of action.
Yeah,
I mean, there's development, you know, for characters and stuff in here too, but we don't. But it's mainly about the action.
Yeah,
at least for these three issues, you know, but. Yeah, so he's having a brawl with an unseen character. We don't know. He's
I see Stripey.
Oh, no. We're talking about this.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. There's like a hand.
There's like a gray hand like on his face and, you know, gross. He's got a bunch of fists out and behind him is Super Patriot.
Yes.
And he is decked out in his you know, his
gear. We're going to have a conversation about Super Patriot's
yes,
gear.
Yes, I imagine we will.
And I think you probably know what we're going to talk about.
I think I do, actually.
Okay.
I think I do.
But we get right to it because Savage Dragon, we start with him in a sewer.
He's in a sewer and...
And he's going after, like, basically like a big spider.
So the story is called Born Again Patriot. Mm-hmm. And he is in the sewer with a Uzi and a flashlight.
Oh, yeah. The Uzi. Don't forget the gun.
He's all about the guns.
Oh, 100%.
It's like when Hulk became smart and he just went around using guns.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I don't know why, but I like seeing a big green man with a fin and a gun. Like, just it looks cool.
It does look cool. It's also somewhat unnecessary.
It's unnecessary, but the thing is, I know that's like it's also kind of Image's motif.
Well, of course, all the guns. He's going after these guys, and apparently, there's this like mutant guy who is also a spider.
Well, his name is Arachnid.
Arachnid, and he has all these dead people.
Well,
like,
these are kids.
Well, see, I didn't realize there were kids.
They mentioned it later.
I know. I didn't realize there were kids until
right.
But when you see them, it just looks like people strung up in a web that he has been feeding on because he's a spider.
He's got a lot of bloody bodies.
It's pretty gross.
And
also,
but he also speaks like a Chicago guy, though. He just speaks like a regular guy, but he also speaks in third person.
Yeah.
So because he sees Savage Dragon, you know, Savage Dragon's like, hey, why don't you surrender? And he's like, Arachnid's got bigger pieces of crap. His name is Arachnid. I think I said that, right?
Yeah, you did.
Arachnid. He's like, I got bigger pieces of...
Bigger guys than you in my fecal matter.
I got pieces of guys bigger than you in his fecal matter.
Yeah, which I don't think that's true.
No.
He also has like a weirdly wrapped face.
Yeah, he's got like a...
Which I don't... It's kind of like a mummy type face thing.
What's that guy? Oh, was it? Not Zaz, is it? No. Yeah. Oh, Hush. Sorry.
Hush. Yes, like Hush.
It's an interesting getup because he's got two big meaty arms and then other spindly arms.
Yeah, tiny little skinny arms. So he's only got, like, he skips lifting on those days.
He's like those guys I used to be with playing football. It's like they only do certain body parts because that's the ones I care about.
They skip leg day.
They usually skip leg day.
Yeah.
You know, they only do bench.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he only does those arms. That's what he did. He's kind of less his other arms kind of. He's like, you know, I don't really use those that much.
Yeah, they're little puny arms.
Yeah, so we get a lot of sound effects.
Yeah, oh my God, so many sound effects because basically he's fighting him, and that's what it is. It's just a big battle at this point.
Big battle.
Whams and fabouches.
Frabouche.
Yeah.
Frabouche
and all sorts of stuff. But basically what happens is...
This one says Babalouche.
Yeah, Babalouche, that's another one. But they're just... And he looks, you know, like he cannot be beat. However, Savage Dragon beats him by electrocuting him.
He punches him into a wall and there's a live wire and he gets
electrocuted. Which, good.
And then that's when the cops show up and they're like, we didn't know this was happening.
Yeah, what is that smell? And it's like, and people are throwing up because there's like kids.
Yeah, there's a guy. It's like that bit in Tommy Guy.
Yeah.
Tommy Boy. Where it's like, you got the old new guy in the corner, even his guts out, you know?
Yep.
There's a guy blowing chunks.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Because there are nothing but dead children and a bloated, fat spider beef.
But what I think is very funny about this is that one guy's like, wow, Savage Dragon, you've done it again. Nobody but you could have done this. And I'm like, well, I mean, technically anybody could have if you just electrocuted.
Yeah, apparently all you needed was a taser and
somebody needed to throw a lie, like just, you know, get a wire in there and flip on the fucking switch and he would have been fine because he's standing in water.
Yeah, he's totally ready to be.
Yeah, because they're like, oh, nobody else could have done it. I'm like, no, literally anybody could have.
Meanwhile,
Super Patriot has become basically sort of like a Super Patriot has become basically a robot.
Yes.
And so he's sitting there with like all these wires and shit, and he's got metal legs, and his legs are spread open, he's wearing a bikini bottom, and it has a fucking big old star on his dick.
Yeah, he is.
I was just like, what is
this? He's batching out.
Oh, I don't know. I'm like, why would you put a star there? Oh, but we find out later that he has a special power.
Oh,
you
do?
Did you miss the special power?
With
his dick?
No, wait, really?
Yeah. Oh my God, we'll talk about it when we get there.
I thought maybe
there's a dick power.
I don't know if it's.
Okay, I looked at it twice. It comes from his dick.
I don't think it does.
Oh my God, it totally does.
Okay, we'll get to it.
Okay.
But he does it. We'll find out if Super Patriot has dick powers.
Stay tuned. We'll find out live on air. So he's like, oh, you know, he sold his soul to the devil to whatever.
Well, but didn't he really not have much of a choice because his face was fucking smashed?
They said half of his face was ripped off and then his arms and legs were crushed. Yes. So now he has like all metal arms and legs and he's wearing like a mask.
He's basically wearing like a Spider-Man mask, but like the American flag.
Mm-hmm. So... Savage Dragon has an apartment.
Yes, he just got an apartment.
And he's going...
He got a utilitarian hovel.
Yeah, he does. He's going home. And apparently, Daisy Duke lives next door when she's not hanging out with the fucking Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah.
Because she's wearing... This woman...
Her name is Debbie Harris.
Debbie Harris is
not
wearing...
Not confused with Debbie Harry.
Right. But she's wearing literally a crop top, button down, sleeveless red flannel shirt.
Uh-huh.
And Daisy Dukes, and she has like a ponytail, and she's just like, she just comes up to Savage Dragon. I think she's trying to hit on him, but like, it's weird the way she does it. I don't know. It's just strange.
Well, she just kind of walks up and just sees him and just,
she's like, hi. And then, oh, but then Savage Dragon's like, do you live here alone? And I'm like, don't answer that. But she was like, I live with my mom because money is tight. And he's like, oh yeah, well, and then she's like, do you want to? Well, maybe. And he's like, oh, gotta go be a police officer. And he like runs away
because his pager goes off.
Yeah.
This is 1993.
And she just stands there in her barely any clothing, looking very confused.
She has
no clothing.
She had her thighs are like, let's be going back to wrestling, Gunther thighs.
Oh my God. They're so long,
very long femurs.
Yeah. That was funny.
I never noticed until we were watching that. We were just, because it was him and Sami Zayn.
And I was like, look, why are his femurs so long?
He's a big boy.
He has extremely long thighs.
Yes, he has extremely long thighs.
That leg bone in general
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a terrifying man.
He is a terrifying man.
But she has terrifyingly long legs here.
Yes.
It's, you know, it's every cartoon, or not cartoon, but comic book.
In this time period had these very long femurs.
Well, she does come up later.
Oh, I'm sure.
Well, she comes up literally in the next issue.
Oh, good.
And it doesn't go well.
Oh, well, you know, so that's something to look forward to, I guess.
All right. This book, this issue, we're stretching this out because there's really, it feels like I read this in like 2 seconds.
But I think it's just because there's so much action involved in it that there's really not a lot going on in it.
Yeah, because we got to the end of it. I got to the end of it. I was like, wait, this ain't the end.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened to me. That's why I was like, okay, so this is the end, right?
Yeah.
So, and this is actually my favorite.
Oh, him showing up like the Terminator and his giant bike.
He's
gigantic. The wheels on this are huge. It's like the Tumbler from Dark Knight Rises.
Yes. And he shows up wearing fucking sunglasses, just holding the biggest gun with these fucking sunglasses.
I like that. I like that the Chicago department, the police department, were like, we are so being devastated by all these supervillains that we will allow this amnesiac dragon man.
Yes.
Who's nigh indestructible.
Yeah.
Indestructible. To join our force, for one,
and
use all sorts of insane methods.
And weapons.
We'll give him the biggest guns we have.
Yes. He can have any gun he wants.
We just have, it's like you go to a restaurant, it's like in the Great Outdoors, we have the 96er steak.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, but every time, they just go in the back and just open up like this barracks with like these giant weapons. And she's like, we don't ever use these. But he's like, but I can hold them. Because he's literally the only person that can hold this gun in one hand.
It is humongous. So he like pulls up.
He pulls up and he meets up with the, I forget her name, Robin?
No. I think it's Alex.
Wild. Alex Wild. She shows up. He's there to handle a hostage situation in the mall.
So basically, the cops, even Savage Dragon is on their force, but their entire thing is that they treat him much like Batman. So they stand outside while he goes in and deals with the stuff and they'll come in later.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's literally what happens.
Hey, there's a bomb there and we need to put your entire face by it and
pretty
see
much.
If you're going to be okay.
Yeah. And then we'll come in afterward.
We'll come in afterward.
Because none of us want to die.
He's also kind of, there's something later that, or maybe it's, I think it's later. I could have sworn in the first issue, he is shooting the fuck out of people. Right?
Yeah.
Well, we'll get to it. But if we get to it, we get to it.
Yeah.
But
What happens here is she says, don't bring your gun because these guys are bulletproof.
I don't know how maybe they already went in there and tried to do something.
Yeah. So Savage is like, all right, cool. So he just like leaves his gun and he goes into the mall where there's like the shark man we talked about at the end of the last episode. The guy with the weird hawks behind his ears. I forget what his Hellraiser.
So that's Hellraiser. We got Razor, R-A-Z-O-R. We got Mako.
This is the shark man.
Mako is the shark man. And Basher, who is the other villain here. He's
yeah.
Just a big guy with giant tubes on his head. Like these weird, like they look like pill bugs sitting on his head, but they're like steel. I don't get it. So we get like a news report.
A news report of what's going on. And there's like a bunch of hostages in this mall.
So this group is also to be known. They are the Vicious Circle.
The Vicious Circle. And basically they're like, we want Savage Dragon. If he gives himself up, we will release all of these hostages.
Right.
So he goes in there and he's like, hello, it is me. And release the hostages. And he goes, oh, you're very funny. And they literally just throw people at him.
I have a question how this works.
I do not know how this works because I'm like, wait.
Well, they somehow
throw all of the people at once.
They throw 10 people at him. And it doesn't look like they're doing it fast. He comes in and he's like, he refuses to give in or whatever. And they're like, he's like, okay, give us the, I want you to release the hostages. And then Hellraiser's like, take them. And they somehow
throw all of them.
All of them. And they're not doing, it's only three of them. So it's like, at most, you could throw.
Well, they
if you
can
have two in each hand.
But they can pick up many people because we saw Savage Dragon pick up like all the cops last time.
That's true.
So maybe that is what's going on here, because
I would imagine the shark man, Mako, could probably do the most.
Yeah. So maybe
this should be like an Olympic event.
And so they're throwing all these people at Savage Dragon and he's like, oh no, go limp. And I'm like, is that going to help?
No, that's worse.
I mean, maybe it's not. Maybe you wouldn't, like, if you go to brace yourself, you'd probably like break it, you know, your arm or whatever.
But also too, like, I'm trying to figure out, they have all these hostages in the mall. Like, the mall is a big place.
Yes. Yes, it is.
So how are you, and it's only the three of them.
I'm assuming, like, maybe they took over and then everybody else ran. So whoever's at this, I don't know, let's say it's a food court.
Maybe it was a food court situation. Maybe they didn't check the PacSun and the GameStop.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Actually, this is 1992. So Suncoast.
Yeah. Sam Goody.
Sam Goody. Mm-hmm. Trying to think what else. What are the clothing stores back then?
It's Your Move was a thing.
Oh, so, yeah. But he tries to save a bunch of these people. And I don't know. I think a lot of them just start running because now the fight's on. But then he, Hellraiser, Dragon charges at him. And yeah. Hellraiser picks up this little kid.
Oh, yeah. It's so funny because he's like going for him. And Hellraiser just like palms this kid's head. It just picks him up. He's like, you weren't hurt me, Mr. Dragon. And of course, Savage Dragon stops. Well, he doesn't stop. He catapults over the kid and still kicks this guy in the face.
Yeah, he at the last second, he does a forward roll. In as he's rolling over, he grabs Hellraiser's head and slams it.
Yeah.
That it's impressive.
Yeah.
His reflexes obviously are just as good as, you know, his strength and everything. It's, I don't know, man. Like, I mean, we do see, I think this is an interesting book because he has a lot of parts of him that are very, you know, it's like, wow, he's really invulnerable. But then you kind of learn more about what could be his weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, he doesn't lose his sunglasses. He has his sunglasses on the whole time.
Yeah.
I don't know how you manage to keep those on. You know, his nice aviators or whatever. So the brawl is on between him and three goons. Hellraiser gets in a good slice. I didn't realize he had these tri blades.
Mm-hmm.
On his arms. I mean, they're gigantic. I don't know how you do anything
without
poking yourself with these, but they're big. And he gets Savage Dragon real good with this.
Yeah.
And as that's happening, you know, he's down, but then Super Patriot.
Yeah.
Dives in.
Yeah.
He dives in and he cuts a promo on the villains. He's like, my name is Super Patriot. I'm back and I'm pissed. And he lets off, I'm assuming, a bunch of rounds into these guys. But this is where he's like, okay, so he starts doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Savage Dragon's like, no, stop killing them in cold blood.
Right. And I was like, wait a second. Isn't that what we've literally been doing this entire time?
I was like, I could have sworn I've seen you mute, just smash dudes.
Yeah.
But apparently he doesn't see. It's like a Batman thing. He's like Batman, but on the police force, where he comes in, he mutilates, he totally demolishes somebody.
Yeah.
And then, but he leaves them alive for them to go to jail.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, well, that's the thing. I didn't kill him, technically.
Right.
So he shoots, what's this guy's name? What's that big guy's name?
Which guy?
Not the shark guy, the other big guy.
Hellraiser? Oh, Basher.
Basher. I think Basher gets a headshot. His hand, I just noticed this, like, Super Patriot's arms turn into, like, these giant, like, guns. Yes,
they turn into these huge guns, and, like, because he's just basically, like, metal now, because his arms and legs were crushed, right?
Yeah.
So, is that the one?
Yes, but I think this is where you're mistaken.
I don't think I'm mistaken.
No, I think
you are.
Let me see. Well, I'm going to point it out.
I know, but I can't see it from there.
Well, So if you're looking in this page here, so the next page is
They're like holding each other, like Savage Dragons is holding Super Patriot's arms up.
He's like,
right?
Don't kill.
Right.
And as you know, as they're fighting, and Super Patriot does no idea who Savage Dragon is, you know, right. So they're just a bunch of mean guys fighting each other.
Yeah.
and there's a gun, there's a weapon coming from around him,
like a tail,
like
maybe,
a some sort of laser that came out from his leg, and it comes around and it shoots him. You can see the barrel here.
Let me see,
because I know what you're thinking. I think it does look, and I did have to say,
I mean,
look
the
twice.
Way it is drawn,
exactly,
it looks like it is originating from his
nether region.
His nether region.
And you would think so, because it's so probably featured in that picture.
It really is. That's there. What I thought. I was like, oh man, maybe that's why he has the star, because he has electric dick and he can just blast. But you are right about this stupid gun. I still prefer to believe it is his penis.
I'm pretty sure that's what was intended for people to think. It is quite the image. So he beats the shit out of Savage Dragon. Like, just smashes him around, and Officer Wild comes in, and mm-hmm. she's like, hey, stop beating him up. He's an actual police officer.
And the guy, he like kind of short circuits Super Patriot does, because he's like, me, sorry, like that kind of thing. And he just,
he also beats him up, and Savage Dragon's just like, ah!
Yeah, Savage Dragon's just like out of it. And so
he is out of it.
Super Patriot lets him go, and I think he just runs off.
Yeah, well, this is what I think is funny. So, Savage Dragon comes back. He does a double sledge to both sides of his face.
Oh, that's right. He just like cool. punches like him with his two fists into the side of his face.
Punches him with two fists, and he collapses because it doesn't. Yeah, and later you see him. I don't know if. It's coming up here.
Yeah,
but like, yeah, he collapses.
Yeah,
because he got cut. And
yeah,
he got cut. Got cut hard.
Yeah, because Savage Dragon's like, oh, I'm bleeding so much. He just has blood just pouring
There's
out of him.
There's blood pouring out of his body.
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot of blood. And he collapses. And he's just laying there, just bleeding. There's so much blood in this mall.
Yeah.
Like, this shot
oh,
here.
Oh, yeah. There's just blood everywhere.
Of so many hostages. And you got Basher here. And it's just, oh, my God. It's crazy. And then this is where Super Patriot kind of he turns into like a spider guy
uh-huh.
a little bit, like his limbs kind of extend, and he runs out of the room.
Yeah.
He runs out of the room, which it's brought up a little bit late in the next issue where it seems almost as if he's being controlled.
Yes.
So, because we learn a little bit more about that. Yeah. And he runs out, and it is it's a literal massacre.
Yeah.
Literal massacre, and we take Dragon to the hospital, and that's how that ends.
Yep, that's
it. I was thinking about this too. Like, this is 1992 Image.
Yeah.
So the comics themselves go by pretty quick because, yes, there's a lot of action, a lot of big splash pages.
Mm-hmm.
It's honestly, it's very different from what else you see, anything else you see in comics those days.
Yeah.
Which is probably why it was such a big deal.
Yeah.
Why everybody got, it was so over, but they didn't have a lot of advertisers, if any.
Yeah.
Probably then, because it was just starting out. So, and anything that was in there that was taking up space were like advertisements for the other books.
Yeah.
So that's probably why this felt so quick. But yeah, because it doesn't even say the end.
No, it's just they're just going to take him in an ambulance and
that's why it's so confusing, because you'll jump to look at the next page on the next side. And it's like, am I reading like a bunch of different tales in one book?
Right.
So,
yeah,
but that's going to do it for Savage Dragon number 2 from the miniseries. Did I say what is it, October?
1992? Yeah, I think you said October 1992.
October 1992. I don't know. What are we thinking about the end here? I know how it ends. What did you think?
Like, as far as like what happens in the next issue, because there's only one more.
Yeah. Now, mind you, this is the mini series, and then they launch an ongoing. So
right. This is like his introduction.
Yeah. It's his introduction to the larger Image universe.
Yes.
So this is what you're supposed to have read. And then you go into the store, your comic book store, and you're like, man, I need to get that. Oh, my God, there's an ongoing series.
Right.
I'm going to buy every issue.
Right.
Well, do you like it? Do you think it works? Is it working so far?
I feel as a 90s, early 90s series, yes, I think it's working pretty well. I think it's, you know, especially Image at that time. This is kind of like emblematic of their style, of what they will come to do. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, I think it works well in that sense. Yeah. So, you know, I'm interested to see what's going to happen to our buddy Savage Dragon.
The only reason why I kind of push the issue with you, because I know you're not as familiar with these things.
Correct.
As that. So I'm curious. This is probably more of like your first time really diving into this.
Yes, that is correct.
So I'm curious to see what you would think.
Yeah. You know, again, this is, it's a very, you know, of its time. It's very, you know, big guns and, you know, handsome Squidwards and long asses. And
I like that he's handsome Squidward. He is, actually.
He totally is.
I don't know. I've seen the meme. I don't really, I've never watched an episode.
Me either, but I've seen the meme. That's all I
know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So, but it's, that's very 90s at the time. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, but I know in the next issue, we get to meet the main villain.
Mm-hmm.
We get to have a crossover with the other Image book that started at the time,
okay.
Rob Liefeld's Youngblood.
Oh, yeah. Well, she did mention Youngblood in
yeah, because
she
mentioned because the girl that he's talking to,
the girl in his apartment building,
is like, oh, it's like, oh, are you a superhero like the Youngbloods? Because Youngblood or whatever.
Yeah,
whatever. They also make a quick joke in there about him being about that guy who the arachnid or whatever.
Yeah,
he gets the woman in that news report's like, it's like, oh, and they arrested this mutant Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Blah, blah,
in
blah.
Quotes, it's quotes.
Yeah, and they, and that shows up again. But yeah, so there's that, and we get a fridging.
Oh, we get a fridge. Oh, so that girl gets fridged. Oh, huh?
I was gonna say, you'll never guess.
I'll never guess who could get fridged. No, I know. I got you.
All right. Well, hope you enjoyed this episode, everybody. Thanks for listening. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and just about everywhere at Angry Hero Sean.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield on pretty much all the social media.
You can also find us on Facebook. Please encourage you. I encourage you to check that out. Give us a like there, but also YouTube.
Yes.
YouTube.com/AngryHero79. That's my channel. There's action figure reviews and other random bullshit. Not a lot of stuff. But the big kicker is all of the videos. All the episodes of our podcast are now on there.
Oh, wow.
You can listen to them on YouTube, which is a big deal for a lot of people. So I encourage you to subscribe to that channel, Angry Hero 79, and you do the notification bell, and you'll get the new episodes there if that's your preferred choice of listening to the podcast.
Yeah.
You see, we're making it good for you guys.
We're trying.
And of course, all the other podcast catchers or whatever, you know, you have podcasts, Spotify, whatever, if you're on there, subscribe, give us a like, you know, give us a good review. Tell friends. Mm-hmm. We really appreciate that.
It yeah.
We really need it. So, once again, folks, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again next time.
Bye.